Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today, Haley Jenkins. Welcome, Haley.
Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
And the reason why you're here is because I was fascinated by what you did last year, which was to spend time in a place that many people have heard about and has been in the news recently. And we're talking about Korea. And I'm believing it was South Korea.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, South Korea.
So tell the listening audience how it was that you went to Korea.
So what I was on was a State Department-sponsored scholarship called NESLI, which stands for National Security Language Initiative for Youth. It's kind of a mouthful.
Right.
But it's pretty much a scholarship that acts as a way for students to learn languages that are less commonly taught in the classroom. And so it kind of builds the gap between countries that the U.S. needs these strategic relationships with. So it's really helps to broaden a lot of young people's understanding globally and creates better global citizens for the United States.
Okay, where had when you two things. One, mm-hmm. where had you been when you had applied? Were you in a school?
Yes, I was currently going to Wasilla High School, and for this program you have to be under the age of 18 when you first apply. So I was finishing my senior year of high school. Actually, I was just beginning. It started in October when I first applied, and that was through word of mouth from my teacher, Carla Swick, who was my Japanese teacher at the time. And she told me that about this program, and I started that in October, the application.
So you finished then at Wasilla and then went off to Korea?
Yes. I finished in May, and that's when I got my finalist notification. And then I left in late August, early September.
Okay. So first impressions. You arrive in Korea. You have some background with the Japanese language.
Yes.
Which is different than Korean.
Yes.
And you arrive. What was your first impression of Korea?
It was just so big and so many people. Being from Alaska is really quite different how different the city life is. But I'd been to Tokyo before and I'd seen that kind of style of Japanese city life. But now going to Korea and actually the process, like the thought process of me actually living in Korea was really just, it blew my mind. It was, I wasn't sure.
Get back on the plane and leave.
No, I was, blew my mind in a good way. I was really excited and not yet scared of the things that I'd have to like overcome, but really just naive excited.
Okay. So who was there someone there to meet you at the plane? I'm guessing there was.
Yes. Yeah, so we went with a group of 10 other students from the United States. And so this was our Korean academic year program group. And so there was 10 other kids and we all met in New York and we had our pre-departure orientation in New York.
Right.
And then we all went on the plane together and we all got to know each other on the 13-hour plane. And we also had one of the resident directors from an organization that oversaw us in Korea came to us in New York and then brought us to Korea with them.
Okay.
And so once we arrived in Korea, we had a whole bunch of in-country like orientations where we met a lot of people from the embassies and kind of got a better feel of Korea and like the safety and just things that we needed to know when we were in country.
Okay. So you arrive with a group, you're met. Where did you live?
In Korea. We lived in Seoul, Korea, which we weren't allowed to. We were only allowed to travel within Seoul and Incheon by ourselves.
Okay.
But that's where we lived primarily. And we lived there and went live with a host family and went to school there too.
Okay. So all of you dispersed into separate host families.
Yes.
Okay, tell the listeners about your host family.
So for our program, usually you have at least two host families. I had only two. Other people could have more or less. But I had two host families, and my first host family was a really really sweet family, and I knew barely any Korean at the time.
Right.
And they could speak pretty good English, and so it was a lot of help at the time. So whenever I didn't know how to say something in Korean, I could just ask them in English, and then they'd tell me how to say it. And I think from there, I really started to learn more about Korean culture, because that was the biggest aspect in my life at that time, when I really started to understand Korean culture. And right when I got there, they had this thing called Chuseok, which is a traditional festival that's kind of like Thanksgiving in our culture. And we had that, and I got to meet my host family's family, and we prepared a lot of food and set up a offering table. And I just got to know the Korean lifestyle a little bit more each time I talked with my host mom, which I usually would talk to her after dinner all the time. And we would just talk about things like, what's this in Korean, and why is this like that? And then we just share our culture.
Ah, wonderful.
After dinner while we talked. And then my second host family, I was with two younger host siblings.
Okay.
And my youngest brother was only 3 years younger than me, but these were like a 6 and an 8 year old. And so they were really fun and overly exuberant. And I got to practice a lot of Korean with them, because obviously they didn't know any English. And so it was very fun just being able to keep with the high-paced Korean.
Okay. So you mentioned dinners. Obviously the next question is, Korean food. You explored quite a bit of it, and what are your impressions?
So before I went to Korea, I had only eaten Korean food once, and it was at a Korean restaurant in Anchorage. And at first, I wasn't sure what to make of it. But once I got, and I had Korean plain food, and that was my second impression of Korean food, and that wasn't good, but that was also plain food. And then when I came to Korea and we had our first meal, I was just so surprised that it tasted so good. And I was really relieved, kind of, because I was going to be spending 9 months, and I actually love the food. And kimchi, I really love it. It's spicy, and I gained a lot of spice tolerance throughout the year.
Sure.
I started my first dinners pretty much crying every time I ate with my host family, and they'd all have towels and they'd give me a towel. But it's so delicious, and it has so much character to it. Like, it makes sense that Koreans would eat this type of food, because just looking by their food, I can feel like I understand them a little more by their character, which is really, really outspoken and just Korean.
Okay. So you leave the host family to go to school. What was school like?
School was really interesting. So for our program, we all had different schools, but there would be about three kids per school on our program. And so I went to Daewon Foreign Language High School, which is a Korean high school. We all went to Korean high schools. And so I got to witness firsthand, first off, the cultural side of Korean high school and the pressure and all the students trying to do their very best. And my school was a really elite school, especially since it was a foreign language high school. I was a part of the English major with Japanese minor. And so I went to school Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays half time. So I went to school, and then after lunch, I left to go to Korean class. But then the rest of the days I were on full days. And then on Fridays, I did this thing. It's called yaja. It's where you pretty much stay at school until 10 o'clock at night and you study. Oh. And so it's really a different perspective on how people study compared to Americans in an American high school, where they will stay till school on Fridays and Saturdays till like 10 o'clock at night, and teachers will stay there too, and you just have to study by yourself. And it's really crazy, and I really respect that. But in Korean society, they are so competitive. Every job they have so many people that they have to be that competitive. And so they have to work really hard in school, and I got to experience how that can put so much stress on them in the first place.
So thinking of your experience in terms of what you learned in the school, Did that process, were you able to adapt to that process, and did it serve you well?
It really kind of broadened my perspective on how I studied. Because I'd taken so much for granted being an American student, I could just go home and study by myself and study how I like it. But when you sit in a school, you have to study at your desk for 10, 12 hours. And you have to do that by yourself. And I feel like that kind of made me think in more creative ways on how I could just sit at a desk and get my mind to process these things. But you also look around you, and it can be so fun because all the other kids around you are sitting there studying things too. And there's this kind of aspect, like mentality in the classroom at the time when kids are just getting it done, and it kind of motivates you also to be very productive. And I think that the thing that I learned from that was that I can take into like college, and I can just kind of zone into that mindset now. But I feel that Korean society, their structure of their school system is really hard, and it works really well. But I feel that sometimes it's really flawed because my friends would just come to school in the morning and they would just not be awake. They'd be sleeping so much in school because they have these separate things called Hagwon, which is a private academy that they go to on weekends and usually after school if they don't have yaja. And so usually the structure, the focus in Korean society is more towards the private institutions where they learn math or English or science. And I feel that instead of actually in paying attention in the classroom, they do extra things outside of the classroom, like private institution, which they all go to.
So Haley, as you're thinking about, you've studied Japanese here, and then you've studied Japanese there as well.
Yes.
Right. Differences in the way you studied Japanese in the two places?
So I studied Japanese as a Japanese minor there with an English major. And one of the biggest things I realized when I first got there was I was placed in the freshman class, and it was only their second semester when I had gotten there. And when I went into Japanese class, I was like, 3 years of Japanese, I should be fine. I should be able to hold conversations with them, and they should be maybe at my level. And then I realized that was very different because the Korean language is really similar to Japanese, that they can just learn it like English-speaking people can learn Spanish or French. It's really, really easy for them, especially since they already know the Chinese characters.
Sure.
And
right.
A lot of their words have the same Chinese root.
Okay.
And so a lot of them are very, very similar. They sound very similar and they mean the same thing. So it's very easy to learn Japanese as a Korean. But I feel that helped me in a way to learn Korean more, because I'd sit in my Japanese class and I'd have to try really hard to listen to the teacher because I wasn't sure if she was speaking Japanese or if she was speaking Korean at times, because there was very similar in some words. And so it was really fun just trying to sit in class and like, oh, I know that word, but I don't know if I knew that in Japanese or Korean. And so
right,
I was like,
right.
after like the class, I like questioned myself and like, what was that conversation in? I understood it, but I don't know if that was in Korean or Japanese or English sometimes. Like,
so you've described something of the academic activities in school and being at home with the host family. Were there extracurricular activities or athletics or other things that students were involved in?
At my school, there was unfortunately no athletics.
Okay.
It was very academically aligned. And so a lot of students would be in like debate club, or I guess there were things like dance clubs, but they only have these clubs during the second semester or the first semester because they're prepared for like sports day or kind of a day at this end of the second semester where they just show all they've learned, and it's kind of like a giant entertainment day for the school where they prepare these things in their clubs and then they show it as like whatever dance routine they learned. They learn, show that towards the end of the first semester. And so when I first got there, there were no clubs going on actively. It was just studying. But second semester or the first my second semester being there, which was the first semester of my second year, I got to experience club life, and I was in the movie review club. Yes.
Okay. Were these Korean or other movies?
We watched a mix of Korean, English, and like Japanese movies.
Okay. So, yes. Mike Malevsky here. I'm speaking with Haley, who has just come back from a year in South Korea, and she's talking about her experiences there. So when someone goes away, at least my experience is when I've gone out of the country and spent a little mm-hmm. while, and then I come back, I notice things about Palmer that looked different.
Yeah.
So when you returned from Korea, what was your impression of Palmer and Alaska?
So when I first came back from Korea, I'd just gotten settled into actual Korean life and living in a city and using public transportation. And then I came back to Alaska, where there is no public transportation really. And that was, I feel that the biggest blow to how I perceived coming back was because it just felt like a lot less freedom, especially since at the time I couldn't drive when I came back, but now I have my driver's license so it doesn't feel that lacking of freedom now. But when I first came, it was really noticeable because in Korea, kids can just go on the subway when they're like 8 and they have all that freedom. But when I came back to Alaska, I didn't have that. And I feel that the biggest thing that I realized was how clean everything was, like the air, and just it felt a lot more peaceful than Korea because it's so fast paced. It was really nice to just come back home and just get into the way of like living, and I can just go hiking with my friends or fishing. And it's just really nice to come back home and have that sort of real appreciation for how much we live in nature here, which I took for granted in Korea.
So one thing that we have not talked about yet is technology. My understanding is that Korea has a pretty high-speed internet system. Talk about that. You're smiling.
I feel that was when we were talking to the other kids before we left for Korea, we were all excited for Korean internet. And then we go to Korea, and really the only people who have such fast internet is the government.
Oh.
The people usually just have normal internet. My first host family, I did not have very good internet, but they have these things called PC bangs, which is like a PC room where you can go and like that's where most student or just people just go to play like video games, or just it's just a place like a cafe, a computer cafe, where you can go to get really fast internet. So like whenever you have to like buy a ticket for like a concert, they sell out really fast. You have to go to a PC bang because there's no lag in the internet. Mm-hmm. But on a normal house scale, like for a normal family, they don't have really fast internet. And I feel that's a big misconception, and people come and they're like, oh, fast internet.
Right.
But you have to go to special like cafes, internet cafes.
Okay. So did you brought a computer and what about a phone?
They gave us phones at our in-country orientation, where we had a Korean phone, or you could choose to get a Korean SIM card in your phone. And we had to carry that around for safety purposes, like for the whole time we were there. And they gave us a phone number, and we were able to put our contact information in it. But it was pretty much a year without an actual cell phone because I didn't really use it that much unless I was lost, which I used it a lot then. But you can usually connect to free internet on things like train stations or other places that like cafes where they have free internet. But I brought my phone with me that I had from America, and I used that to get on things like Facebook because the one I had wasn't a smartphone.
Okay. So did you change your social media and connecting habits while you were in Korea as compared to being here?
I feel that in Korea, when I first started, I originally started a blog.
Okay.
And trying to share my story with my family and friends back home. And after winter break, I realized that I was so busy. I had no time really. But I feel that my social media sort of decreased a lot in South Korea, other than sending photos to my family and like video chatting with my family, because I was just really busy and just excited to be there. So I'd usually just not be on social media and instead going places with my friends and trying to experience the most out of just the time I had left.
Okay. So looking to the future, you're going to leave Palmer and go off to school. Where are you going to school, and how will what you have just done help you in choosing what you're going to do next?
So I'm going to go to the University of Alaska Fairbanks for college. And during my senior year, that's where I planned to go originally, but then I got this scholarship.
Sure.
So it put a little detour on my plans. But so after 1 year, I'm coming back and I realized that I really want to study linguistics and UPIC and try to give back to my community in Alaska through things like what I want to be right now is going in. What I want to do is go into native language documentation or maintenance planning. So that is what I'm going to study when I go to college, hopefully.
And what has caused you to choose UPIC?
I feel that especially in our time period right now, that UPIC will probably have the highest chance of 21st century collaboration with English. I feel that in Alaska, UPIC is a viable option where people can actually have conversations in UPIC. And I feel that it's something that we could be teaching students in Alaska in our high schools. And I feel that it's probably going to be one of the, sadly to say, the most thriving native language in the 21st century.
Okay. We've talked about a lot of things, and I want to leave an opportunity here as we're finishing up for you to say anything about this experience that we have somehow missed.
I feel that from my experience, especially the time I was in Korea, was really not only for me memorable, but for the world at that time, really memorable, because I was witnessing at that time Korean history. They had just, when I got into Korea, they had just, I lived through the time where they had impeached their president and they changed. And I remember sitting through things. I remember going to a lantern festival with my friends and we walked through the streets, and then I saw so many people protesting. And then the next day, my host family showed me a newspaper, and on the front of the newspaper, there were over a million people in that street protesting. And I didn't even, that's more people than live in Alaska.
Right.
And so I feel that just being there and like understanding how historically significant this was and like living through that was really amazing. And I feel that for other people who go abroad, who knows, you might just be witnessing history. You just have to really pay attention. So.
Okay. And as you're saying that, I'm realizing we haven't talked about anything that you observed in South Korea about attitudes toward North Korea.
Mm-hmm. When I first got there, it was a question I asked a lot.
Okay.
Because I remember before I went to Korea, everybody was so worried because I was so close to North Korea. But when you go to Korea, and I asked my host family, and I asked my classmates, and I asked my teachers, and I asked them what their opinion was on North Korea. And we had talked about it a lot. And a lot of them aren't very scared. And I asked them what they thought about things like reunification. And a lot of older generation still feels like there's that possibility. But my friend, she did this as her final project on the reunification of North and South Korea. And she did a survey, and a lot of the younger generation and the ones I've talked to feel that right now is not a good time, and that it might not ever happen, not only because of the cultural difference that have already started to appear, but economic reasons too. And I feel that it's a really sad thing, because there's still people who live in South Korea right now that still have family in North Korea. And we, as a trip, as a cultural excursion, we actually went to the DMZ, which is the demilitarized zone. And so we went there, and we went through the third tunnel under the demilitarized zone, where North Korea had built this tunnel trying to go into the South Korea. And we went through a lot of history there, and we didn't go to most places, but because of security issues at that time. But I feel that it was just really a good reminder of how people are still living today, where the past they knew was just one Korea. And something I found really interesting was that my Korean teacher also found interesting was when she asked us to draw a picture of Korea, we drew South Korea. But when you ask any other Korean to draw a picture of Korea, they draw both North and South Korea, which I found was really, really interesting. And who knows, in the future it might happen, but right now it's really hard to say, and a lot of people are losing a lot of hope.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that summary. Because Korea has obviously become a focus of considerable interest. Yes. Because in part of the North Korean use of missiles and yes. all the rest of that.
Yeah, we did a lot of research, and for my Korean class, we'd do a lot of essays on things like that. And while I was there in Korea too at that time, after their impeachment of their president Park Geun-hye, there was also a lot of protests to things like that and the anti-missile device that they wanted to place in right. Korea, in South Korea. And there was we talked about a lot of stresses that were placed by like China and things. And I feel that right now, as the use of more ballistic missiles by North Korea, I don't know how that has changed yet from since I've left, but we'll see, especially with their new president.
Okay.
How that turns out.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike Malevsky. And I've been talking with Haley, who graduated from Wasilla High School, and then on a detour took the long route to Fairbanks and went to South Korea for a year. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. It was very fun.
Great.